you know, if they're not in school, there's a good chance that they're not going to see love on a daily basis. There's a good chance they might not even see food on a daily basis. But Vacation Bible School is an outlet for them to be in a safe environment. They need love more than probably any of us need love, because they just don't see that. So I say go and let them hear the gospel and get fed and get loved on. It might be the only time they have it that summer.
From Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute, this is the Level Paths Podcast. We're glad you've taken some time to join us. My name is Chris Weigel. When summertime rolls around, banners and signs start popping up in front of churches. You guessed it, it's time for Vacation Bible School. On this episode of Level Paths, Rex and Dr. Matt are joined by Angie Vanover. She is the children's director at Rose Hill Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. What is the history of VBS? How has it changed? And how can your church use it effectively? Here's Rex.
Welcome back to the Level Paths podcast. My name is Rex Howe. I serve as the president of Tri-State Bible College. And here at Tri-State, we offer access for students to fulfill their ministries. We get that from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, where Paul gives his final ministry command to Timothy to fulfill his ministry. In Level Paths and in the Appalachian Ministry Institute at TSBC, we hope to, through our work, level mountains, raise up valleys, and create smooth places so that in Appalachia we can see the glory of God in clear view. That's why we have the podcast. That's why we have our conference. That's why we love to have conversations like we're going to have today about Vacation Bible School. Think about making level paths for kids and families in Appalachia. My ministry partner, my brother, my dear friend, Dr. Matt Shamblin is here with us. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Rex. It's been a while since we've got together for one of these podcasts, but it is that time. It's Vacation Bible School time. And as we were talking about it, I thought, you know, we need to do an episode on Vacation Bible School, because that plays a significant role as an evangelistic tool. And so I said, hey, let's get Angie. We work alongside one another here on the staff at Rose Hill. Let's get Angie Vanover to come be a part of our podcast so we can talk about Vacation Bible School, because there's few people that I've talked about Bible school with more than Angie, because we do Bible school here and it's a big part of our ministry, probably the largest single ministry that we do in our church. And so, Angie, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here today and excited to talk about Vacation Bible School.
Now, you have been on staff at Rose Hill for 21 years.
That is correct.
Long time. And so, who better to talk about the changes that we've seen in Vacation Bible School? We've seen huge changes in the time that I've been here. And those changes, I think, in large part reflect what we see across our country. So when we think about Vacation Bible school really is not that old. Bible school started in the late 1800s. It started as an outreach for kids to learn the Bible. And it really started with a class. That's what preachers do. Let me teach you. That's how they always approach things. We're going to have a class. Those Bible school classes would go on for a couple weeks. And then it's evolved since then. We've seen it be a means to reach kids. That's really how Sunday school started, too. It was a way to teach children how to read. And they use the Bible as a curriculum. And then it started from that. So Bible school was such an important part. I remember as a kid, Vacation Bible School, our neighborhood, there was a little church, a little gospel tabernacle church close to our house. Great advertisement for Vacation Bible School was in the summer, they would have a bicycle parade, and all the kids would come be a part of that, because it was right in the neighborhood. And it was wonderful advertisement, because that was a time when our little community would get together, whether it was trick or treat or Vacation Bible School, something like that, and always looked towards that time of year that I would get to be with the big kids and ride my Incredible Hulk bicycle through the streets of Youngs Bottom, West Virginia, to go to Bible school with Sand Run Gospel Tabernacle.
I have to remember that for next year's Bible school and have the pastor lead a bike parade with the Hulk bicycle.
If that bicycle still exists, I'm afraid I would smash. I'm afraid that little dog smash.
I see a costume in your future, brother. So when I had a student, Matt, I was hoping that Tessa could join us today. She wasn't able to, but she wrote a paper in our church history and Appalachia class on the history of VBS. And I learned some things that I didn't know. Now, from her paper, she saw the origin going back to Mrs. Hawes, Walker Hawes in New York City, whose husband was a physician. She saw some of the injuries the kids were getting on the streets of New York. She said, let's create a safe environment, teach these kids the Bible. And then that jumped into the ministry of Brother Brodus. He was in Louisville, I think, at the time. They were related, sister-in-law. She was his sister-in-law. And so then we have VBS coming to Kentucky. And so it's a quick movement to Appalachia. I don't know if you and Angie know any more of those bits and pieces of the history, but that was new to me. I didn't know the history.
So it has a close history tied into Sunday school as well. And so there, you know, I think that Eliza Hawes was the first to organize kind of a formal vacation Bible school. There was some informal and some who had a little bit more connection to a Sunday school. It's kind of the natural outworking when you're teaching kids to read. And, you know, that's the crazy thing about Sunday school. Sunday school did not start in a church. Sunday schools were held all across the city on sidewalks, even in closed bars, to teach children how to read, and they used the Bible as a curriculum and expanded from there. And so the natural outworking in an informal and then a more formal way would have been in this connection with Sunday school. So it's always teaching the Bible as a means for evangelism.
I have a memory of vacation Bible school. And I think for me, the memory was probably snack time because, you know, back in the 80s, which was when I grew up, snack time always consisted of two peanut butter crackers and a chocolate chip cookie wrapped in a napkin. And then usually McDonald's would donate Kool-Aid or the orange drink or whatever. So we'd have that. So that's always a fun memory of mine. And it more so coming into light as the first year that I became children's director at Rose Hill, I did away with the coveted peanut butter crackers and cookies and went to a little bit more of a themed, which was, you know, some of the little old ladies didn't particularly care for that, but the kids loved it. That always stands out as a memory of mine just simply because it was a very fond memory of mine growing up, but it was actually one of the first changes that I did when I became a director, because I knew most kids couldn't have peanut butter, really. That's what it all boiled down to, was the times change. But it was a great memory of mine from Bible school, was just that snack time.
So I was pastoring North Charleston Baptist Church, and this old van that we had, one of the first things I did as a pastor was weld a new bottom on the door of this van because the bottoms had rusted out of the van door. And so it was Bible school. And the first night after Bible school had started, the brake cylinders had locked up. I had to do a brake job on this van the morning of the second day of vacation Bible school because we had to have that van to bring in all those kids. And I'm thinking, they didn't teach this in seminary. Here we are working on working on vans and doing all that to keep us going. So vacation Bible school, what a wonderful time. One of the greatest keys when we think about vacation Bible school is that vacation Bible school is an evangelistic tool. If you go into Bible school with the mindset that this Bible school is for the kids that we have in the church, you will absolutely have a small vacation Bible school. But Bible school from its origin was an evangelistic tool, and that mindset that, yes, we want to minister to those kids who are here, but we want to use this as an opportunity to reach those kids who are not here. Bible school is still, I believe, a great evangelistic tool. Angie, why is that mindset so important to how you design, lead, and work in Bible school?
Firstly, I think our kids with our church, if you just go with the mindset that you're just going to be here for the kids of your church, you're kind of missing the point for every Sunday and Wednesday that you have, because those are the times that you have with your kids to kind of pour into them on a weekly basis of the gospel. Bible school, if you look at it on the outset, it's an opportunity. There are so many ways, and my mind just goes a million directions, but there's so many ways that you can pull that out for evangelistic. It's an opportunity. It's a 5-day period where people are open to letting their kids come because there are many reasons. It's summertime. They want to get their kids out of the house for a little bit. This year, I kind of ployed it different or advertised it a little differently with it's free childcare. Why not bring your kids out? It's free childcare. We'll take care of them. All of our, you know, volunteers are screened and background checked. So it's a safe environment. It's just an opportunity that most people, if they're not churched, they're not willing maybe to come on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, but they're willing to allow their kids to come with their friends or send them to a vacation Bible school, maybe because it's a less threatening environment, simply because there are activities involved, there are crafts involved. I think there are many reasons, but I do think you have to keep the mindset of this is a community-wide event. You want to work with your church people, but you have to go in for the mindset of the week that this is 5 days that you're going to commit to just reaching the kids and the families in your community.
That mindset really does make all the difference in the world. And so that's going to change the way you approach it. That's going to change how you view the kids that are there and their families. And every aspect of it becomes an evangelistic tool. What we've always done in any church I've ever served, when we do a vacation Bible school, there's going to be a time for me as the pastor to go around to every class and present the gospel. I use different tools for that. I use a tool from Child Evangelism Fellowship that used to be called the Flipper Flapper. It's a wordless book, something like that. You've heard, you've seen that. It actually originates from Spurgeon. That's where that tool came from years ago. And it's just communicating the gospel using the different colors. And it begins with gold and it's surrounded by green. And then it goes to a dark heart, a dirty heart with the color black. You want to be careful with that. Then a red cross and then a white heart and calls kids to repentance. It's a great tool. I remember when I started using that, I was scared to death to present the gospel to children. I have no problems presenting the gospel to adults, but presenting the gospel to children scared me to death. And I thought, who does it the best? And Child Evangelism Fellowship does it the best. And so I went down to the local CEF office and talked to those folks, and they showed me how to use this. And we've used that with the younger children ever since. The older children, I use the EvangiCube. It's just a tool that you kind of move through pictures of the gospel. And we see a lot of kids come to faith in Christ. You know, a lot of kids raise their hand. You know, when you're dealing with younger children, they're all going to raise their hand. And so it's very important that you have trained counselors who can sit down the next day and talk with every one of those kids. Now, you may be in a small church and you may be the only trained counselor. That's okay. Sit down and talk with every kid. Did they understand? You may have an opportunity to lead a kid to faith right then. You may not. And then the next step, what we do is we talk to families, the ones who we're confident that, yes, they genuinely have repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in Jesus. We talk to their families and talk to them about baptism. That last night of vacation Bible school is always a big celebration. All the kids are leading, singing, they're presenting their artwork and having a big time. And those parents who give us permission, we baptize those kids on that last night. But another thing that we do is that we present the gospel from the baptistry to the families. And I'm telling you, I have seen many, many parents come to faith in Christ, some who were involved in some extreme things in the community, come to faith in Christ on the last night of Vacation Bible School when they were there to see their child be baptized. But you know something, Angie? When we first did that here, when we had over 1,000 in Vacation Bible School here at Rose Hill, our auditorium, which will seat over 1,000, was packed full of people. Parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, neighbors, they were packed on that last night. We've seen that number go down of the parents and family and friends who show up, even if they're going to see their child baptized. We've seen some big changes in the last really 5-6 years in Bible school. What do you think that is, Angie?
With the parents' participation, that kind of maybe could be more demographic for what we have and what we see in our vacation Bible school, because we do run our vans to the lower income housing. I kind of think some of that goes back to the generational poverty in our area where parents are less involved. I mean, I know with our church in particular, the gentleman who drives our vans, when he goes to make those contacts and visit those families and invite them, I call him the celebrity of our housing projects, because he's now bringing grandchildren of the people that he brought. And so you see the same people, but it's like, you know, he started with, like I said, a grandparent, and then he brought their child, and now he's bringing their grandchild. And it's kind of heartbreaking to see that that cycle within that generation has just not been broken. But I do think for what we see in the lack of parents, I do think it just goes to a demographic for that vantage point. I think if you want to go over the last 5 or 6 years and the difference that we've seen in Vacation Bible School, I think it goes back to COVID. COVID really made a difference. You know, that first year of COVID, we weren't even able to have a Bible school. The year after COVID, I remember we did a one-night Bible school that was just outside on our parking lot, and everything kind of rotated on the parking lot in the 6-foot spacing areas. And then the second year following, we actually did a full week, but the entire week was outside. Every class was outside. Our celebration, opening celebration, was outside. Food was outside. So I think that was a shift. And now that we're kind of getting further away from COVID, we're still seeing the effects, because the children that we have now, those 4 and 5 year olds that we have this year in Vacation Bible School, are socially awkward because they didn't have contact. I mean, this is the first time that they've had social contact, really, because COVID didn't allow them to have those early contacts, even with family members, let alone people outside your family. So I think that's a big shift in why we see Vacation Bible School in particular changing, just because of what we've gone through as a society over the past 5 years.
Teaching Kids Doctrine with FLY, that's Faith, Life, and Youth. Coming up on July 19th at Tri-State Bible College, join TSBC President Rex Howe for the FLY Workshop. This 2-hour workshop will cover a 3-year scope and sequence for a children's ministry curriculum that teaches 75 doctrinal truths over a 3-year period. The workshop makes resources available for both programming and content, and teaches children to believe and live for Jesus. Its theme verse is John 17:3. The FLY Workshop is July 19th at Tri-State Bible College from 3 to 5 p.m., and the cost is free. To find out more, email Rex at rex.howe@tsbc.edu.
One of the things I wonder about your opinion on this, Angie, is, and I remember a little bit of this when I was a kid, but I feel like it's grown, is there seems to be a tendency that happens with VBS that kids in a community go to this one and to this one and to this one and to this one. They hit all of them, right? It's like, yeah, they hit all the VBSs. And I remember as a kid, I went to our church's VBS and then maybe one friend's VBS with them. Have you seen that change over time? Do you see more of that, less of that? And what's your opinion on the sort of the traveling VBS attendance?
In our area, that is very common. There are some people that have the mindset of they're just doing that to get rid of their kids. I think it's awesome. I mean, if you want to send your child to 5 different Bible schools, they are hearing the gospel 5 different ways. And the more the merrier on that one. But yes, it is not uncommon for the kids that we bring in for our Bible school to let us know that they have well, we're usually one of the first Bible schools in our area, so we typically don't get to hear where they've been, but we will hear where they are going to go. And I think it's great, because that's just more love that those kids are going to see, because, you know, if they're not in school, there's a good chance that they're not going to see love on a daily basis. There's a good chance they might not even see food on a daily basis. But Vacation Bible School is an outlet for them to be in a safe environment, loved on by adults who are there. I mean, listen, it's a week of Bible school. It is hard on every person that is in Vacation Bible School. Every volunteer sacrifices to be there. And I think if you're going to be there, you're going to show love to those kids. Those children need love more than probably any of us need love, because they just don't see that. But then they also get that food. So I say, go and let them hear the gospel and get fed and get loved on. It might be the only time they have it that summer.
One other thing that Tessa brought up in her paper was that she looked at some Barna studies mm-hmm. on VBS. Now, they were a little bit dated. I think they went back to 2012. And at that time, nationally, there was a decline in smaller churches having VBSs because of financial constraints and other issues. So churches of like 250 or more were having, you know, 90% of them, especially in the South, were having VBSs. Less so out in the West. But then smaller churches, I think she said 56% had a VBS budget. But as she said that, one of the comments I made in her paper, I said, it's not true in Appalachia. Appalachia, again, kind of bucks the national trend because even our smallest churches have, mm-hmm. you know, VBS is a big deal here. Why do you think it is a big deal in Appalachia?
It could be tradition, could be, you know, kind of, you hate to say it, it's what we've always done, so we're going to do it. But it really just comes down to our churches see the value in Vacation Bible School and see the difference that it does make and the seeds that it does plant. And so, I mean, in our area, the smallest to the largest churches have Vacation Bible School, and they all look different and they meet the needs of that community that they're in. And so I feel like in our area in Appalachia, it could just be a tradition, but I do think that the churches in our area see the value in it.
Angie, I'd agree with you. I think that so much of it has to do with just tradition, and it's not a bad tradition. Let's use it. Right. It's an opportunity. That's what I've heard people say. Well, you know, they only send the kids because it's free childcare. Okay. Send your kid. We're going to tell them about Jesus. Yeah, I understand. You know, with some of those smaller churches, we had a pastor here who was kind of checking out our Vacation Bible School. They said they haven't had a Bible school in years. And I said, would you like to have one? They said, yeah. I said, well, we'll do one. And he didn't realize that I meant we'll do one now. Like, if you want to have a Bible school, we'll bring all the workers, all the decorations, everything to your church. We'll do the evangelism to help you. But we always donate all of our decorations, mm-hmm. all of those things to churches, kind of the next in line, and our hope is that they go to other churches. We've seen some big changes in Vacation Bible School, but it still proves to be an effective evangelistic tool, even to the fact that there are Muslim schools that mimic Vacation Bible School. So this is not just something that is cultural in our area. We see this as something that is still valuable and cultural across America. And even other religions are using this methodology. You know, Angie, we getting ready to take our Vacation Bible School on the road. We've done this before. We're going to have bounce houses, one night, one spot, Vacation Bible School in four different locations, using it as a mission outreach opportunity in communities across our area. We're planning on a special needs Vacation Bible School. That's a Bible school that not everybody can do. We have a lot of special needs educators in our church who make that possible. But really, the idea of Vacation Bible School and the options are pretty much limitless. It just came to my mind as I'm saying this. We had a Vacation Bible School with Santa once to try to get to reach kids at Christmas. You remember that?
Yeah, we did Vacation Bible School with Santa.
It was just a one-day deal to try to reach people with the gospel. There was nothing else. So where do you see it going?
It's trending with everything, but I think if we're going to continue to reach people for the gospel, we have to be willing to step outside the walls of our church. And I think you hit on that with our block parties. We have to meet people where they're at. Some people aren't comfortable in coming into a church. You can make it as casual and as welcoming as you can, but people carry guilt and baggage and they don't want to bring that in. And so we have to find where they're at and go to them. That's like we're doing our block parties. You know, we've specifically targeted neighborhoods in our area that we know maybe struggle with coming to church. And so we're going to go out and reach them for the gospel. And so I think as we look forward to what Vacation Bible School looks like, I think we have to be willing to always be flexible because times change, situations change. You know, never when I began this ministry did I think that I would really need to, you know, do sexual abuse training with all my volunteers. But here we are in a world where you have to be very guarded with who you put in front of your children and who you allow to come into that circle. And so you have to take that safe environment and you have to go to them and allow them to be safe where they're at, but still share the gospel with them.
You know, I was just thinking about our Bible schools, and so much of it, if you just look at it on the surface, looks the same as it did years ago. Mm-hmm. But when you dig down, you've got sexual abuse training with our workers, background checks. We've got security. We have specialized meals that don't trigger allergies, and on and on and on you mm-hmm. go. Multisensory things, those would have never been addressed 30, 40, 50 years ago, but now they most certainly are. So I think that Bible school is going to have to pivot on that, not be so determined to just keep everything the same. And one of the simple things that I think you're going to see in the future with Bible school is failure. And now hear what I mean. We're going to have to try some things.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, don't try that thing again. Do something different. Like vacation Bible school with Santa. All right. Well, that didn't work. Don't do that anymore. And there's a reason, you know, I know another church that copied that idea across our state in a more populated area, tried that, and it didn't work. Well, then don't do it anymore. You know, do something different. Be willing to try it. Put everything out there on the table. Whatever is going to engage the people where you are in an appropriate way that communicates the gospel. I think that's what Bible school does.
The heart of Vacation Bible School will always be the gospel and the opportunity to present the gospel. What that looks like, it will always be ever-changing. And I think in order to stay effective with your ministry, you have to be willing to think outside the box, accept constructive criticism on things, on what you can do better, and what that looks like in the future. But I do think the heart of it is always, how can we present the gospel to the most kids?
You know, and if you have a small church, work with other churches, mm-hmm. work with mission teams. You say, well, what will they do? They're only, oh, we used to work the legs off of mission teams at North Charleston because we were not a big church, and we would get two mission teams in. And one mission team did pre-evangelism. They knocked on every door in the community, pre-registering people. Boy, that is a key to a great Vacation Bible School. Get names on paper mm-hmm. in the front end. And you're going to need, if you want, let's say that you have a Vacation Bible School of 100 people, you're going to need to pre-register about 400 people to get the 100 people there. And we would do that every day, right up to the last day. We had mission teams out every day working, knocking on doors, registering people to get them there. Why? Why was that important? It was important because we want to see people come to faith in Christ and reach families. I know of a church. It was a small church plant. They did a great Vacation Bible School and then did follow up. And their attendance doubled in 1 week as a result of that Vacation Bible School, because they did a great Vacation Bible School, really worked hard at making a welcome environment for those families, followed up with them. And in 1 week, and you know, that attendance never went down. Mm. It grew. That church doubled, I mean, almost doubled in size in a week's time because Bible school was that evangelistic tool. Well, there's a lot of opportunities out there on how you can make a Vacation Bible School great. I know that Angie would be more than willing to answer those questions, so you can contact Rose Hill Baptist Church in Ashland. I know Rex and I would be more than happy to help in any way that we can. Dream big when it comes to Vacation Bible School. Try things that you might fail at. Don't do those again. And keep using evangelism tools like Vacation Bible School and Sunday school and those things, but have that mindset. This is an evangelistic tool. Keep that at the forefront. God will bless your efforts.
What have you guys tried with parents during VBS, like that might stay or linger, or do you have something for them, or you just focus on the kids?
I can answer that. And we have no parents that even want to stay. They are typically anxious to drop and go. And I can say, more with, if I can hit on our Special Needs Vacation Bible School. The first year that we offered Special Needs Vacation Bible School, it was new to us. We had occupational therapists on hand. We had a nurse on hand. We had a calming room. Of course, as Matt said, almost all of our teachers are special needs teachers in a public school setting or have that background. And so we're very blessed to be able to have people that are already trained for that. The first night we offered a Bible study slash room for the parents because there was anxiousness with leaving their special needs children with people that they didn't really know. And so we had, I think that first year of special needs vacation Bible school, I think we had 12 children enrolled and four or five of the parents were planning on staying. And after coming on site and seeing the environment that we had created, not one parent wanted to stay because they realized that, A, we wanted to love on their children, but we were providing an environment that was safe for them. In that type of family, the parent doesn't typically get a break from that child. And so we provided an opportunity for those parents to be able to have an outlet of an hour and a half of time. If they wanted to stay, we created a room, we had snacks, we had an opportunity for somebody to sit and counsel, visit, just to talk with them. But on our traditional vacation Bible school, we do not have parents that linger. They honestly can't get them registered and out fast enough. But if they wanted to stay and linger, we would totally offer a class for them.
That's always been my experience too. When we have had Bible school in any church I've ever served, the expectation is the adults in the church are serving because we're going to need everybody. And the parents generally don't want to stick around. They're gone just as quickly as they can get that name registered and out the door. All right. Well, thank you so much, Angie. It's been great. Rex, it's been great to get together again and do another podcast. This one, I think, is super practical, super helpful for folks. I hope they put the lessons that we've talked about here today and the wisdom that we've drawn into action right away, because it's still Bible school season. So get to work. Have a Bible school.
So what's the nature of your church's VBS? Is it an opportunity to minister to the youngsters in your community? And does it open the door for their parents to become a part of your church? If you're looking for ways to maximize the impact of your vacation Bible school, reach out to Rex or Dr. Matt today. Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute exist as a resource, and no matter what need you may have, Rex Howe and Dr. Matt Shamlin want you to reach out to them today. Rex Howe is the president of Tri-State Bible College. You can contact him by email at rex.howe@tsbc.edu. And you can reach out to Dr. Matt Shamblin at the Appalachian Ministry Institute by email, matt.shamblin@tsbc.edu. The Level Paths Podcast is an outreach of Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute.